In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Advent is the season of anticipation and preparation for the coming of the Messiah into the world. And not only into the world, but into our world. The long-awaited coming of the Messiah is fulfilled in the historical event that came to pass in the seemingly insignificant town of Bethlehem. Think of that birth. We mark history and time itself by his birth. B.C. A.D. Before Christ. Anno Domini, Latin for in the year of the Lord. All of human history is dated around his birth. In today's gospel, John the Baptist, who was now imprisoned, after hearing about what Jesus was doing, sends two of his disciples to find Jesus. And John the Baptist gives them one important question to ask him. Are you the one who is to come? Or do we look for another? Now, John the Baptist probably already knew the answer, but he was looking for confirmation from Jesus' own mouth. But Jesus answers in an interesting way. He doesn't answer directly, does he? He doesn't say, well, yes, I'm the Messiah. Of course I am. He says to the two disciples, go and show John those things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The dead themselves are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. What Jesus is telling John's disciples is that he, in his 3 years of public ministry, fulfilled the prophecies of the old about the inbreaking of the Messianic age. Because when the Messiah would come, all of our brokenness will find healing. I'm not going to say to you disciples that, yes, I'm the Messiah. I'm going to point to what is happening, what I am doing. You conclude from those things whether or not I am. Of course, John was the one who, when he saw Jesus at the river for baptism, said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John the Baptist knew who he was. It's a very interesting thing. Well, John is in prison. He's in a fix. There's no way out. He knows Jesus' power. I think I would send to Jesus as well, with the hope that he would get me out, save me from what his ultimate faith would be, beheading. Or maybe John the Baptist had grown accustomed to the recent change in messianic expectation among the Jews. After the northern and the southern kingdoms fell, the Jewish people wanted a Messiah who would come as a great military warrior and reestablish the kingdom. They turned the ancient prophet's message into a political message. We want one who will come and vanquish those who are ruling over us. Post-exilic Judaism wanted a warrior Messiah. Well, Jesus certainly didn't fulfill their expectations. But that's what the Jews in Jesus' day expected. Their great mistake, of course, was this. Jesus didn't come to meet their expectations as to what a Messiah or Savior ought to do or be. No, Jesus' Messiahship manifests itself in that he comes to meet our deepest needs. Look at his ministry. He came to seek and save the lost, the hurting, the outcasts. Look at him, he associates with sinners. He was not on a mission to reestablish a political kingdom. He came to heal the broken people of the world. People like us who can never claim righteousness on our own before a holy God. Ultimately, our righteousness would come by the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross. No, Jesus comes today just like he did in his public ministry. He comes to speak to all who will listen of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God that is within the hearts of his people. He comes to wipe away the tears from our eyes. Where God is ever near, and we can never experience loneliness again if we are close to his heart. In the Creed, we say, whose kingdom shall have no end. Political kingdoms all come to an end. This kingdom will never die. So as we move closer to celebrating the coming of the Messiah, we focus our attention on the issue of time. We look back in time to contemplate the events of the incarnation that took place with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And we look forward in time when Jesus will come again in power and great glory to consummate human history. But I think because Christmas so overwhelms us, we forget perhaps the most important time of all, to look to God in our present time. Today, for if Jesus' purpose and ministry is to meet us in the places of our greatest hurts, our greatest sufferings, our greatest need, in our sadnesses, in our broken hearts, in our sinfulness, receiving him today is Advent's invitation to really know we've been forgiven, to really experience his love, you know, a lot of people have heard over and over again, God loves you. Well, that's a true statement. But the real issue is, have you experienced, really experienced his love? You know, he is the only one, God is the only one who knows us as we really are. You may think you know your spouse, your children, your best friends, but there's another part of who each of us is that only God knows. And yet he loves us unconditionally. So why? Why do so many people, myself included, not always desire the full presence of God and his kingdom within? Why is that? Well, I hate to say it, but I think there's a fairly simple answer. And it's such an important answer that it's the first story in Holy Scripture about the relationship between man and God. God provides Adam and Eve with everything their hearts could desire. But he gives them that one rule: don't eat the fruit of this tree. If you do, you will surely die. Well, you know how the story goes from there. They do eat, and then everything changes between God and Adam and Eve. And ultimately, Adam and Eve think the best course of action for them is to hide. As if anyone can hide from the living God. Well, of course, God finds them. In God's finding them is one of the great passages, because it describes God's modus operandi. God is in the eternal business of searching for us and for all of his children. Not only can't we hide, we can't even run away from his love and his searching for us. I think a lot of people think that because of our sinfulness, because of our disobedience, because of our shame, it excludes us from his love, from his search for every single person. But God never gives up. There's nothing you or I can do for God to just drop us, to not care about us anymore. You see, he loves all of his prodigals. And the rest of the story after the fall is the story of God's unrelenting search for us. Advent is a blessed reminder that today he is seeking all of us. No, let's not hide. Let's simply receive the love that he's chasing us with. Let's be so filled with the beauty of his love that even in our darkest moments, our most broken times, he is right there by our side. For his love is the only gift that will meet our needs. Probably 50 years ago now, that marvelous group of young British singers that took over the world for a while, the Beatles, put it this way: all we need is love, dun da 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 da. All we need is love, dun da 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 da. All we need is love, love. All we need is love. Well, I messed up the last part. Now, I know they were talking about, you know, boys and girls and that kind of love. But they were right. That's all we need in life. But the love we need can't be given by another human. It can only be given by the one who created us, the one who redeemed us, and the one who will welcome us into the fullness of his eternal glory. Well done, thou good and faithful servants. Inherit the kingdom that I have prepared for you. Christmas has a way of robbing Advent. And it is to our detriment if we do not take this time before Christmas, push Christmas away. It will come, and the good news is there are 12 days. Doesn't end on Christmas Day, it begins on Christmas Day. Advent says, he came in Bethlehem, he will come again, but I have a present for you today. I'm coming to your house. Open the door. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.